And greetings and salutations, amigos. I'm Freddie Coleman, my man Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to the show. Pennzoil Performance Line. We said the NCAA tournament had only one star coming into this one. That guy was Zion Williamson. He has a Robin to his Batman in the form of Ja Morant. Murray State moves on to the second round. They'll take on Florida State on Saturday. The casual fan, due to highlights, if they decide not to work today, if they decide to do this and watch him at work today, Jonathan, the casual fan knows about him just a little bit more. We know that's going to help. But it was so much fun seeing somebody that is still a mythic figure to a lot of people have a day like that. And I hope that plenty of people were either watching or paying attention when it came to Ja Morant of Murray State.
Mo, how do you like it? How do you like his look? Ja Morant was just terrific. So impressive, Freddie. Anything that you wanted, he was able to give to you, because for someone his size, and I think he's 6'2", 6'3", somewhere in there, but the ability to get to the basket, knock down shots, and the other thing, too, for the amount of assists that he was able to dole out in that game, in a college game, was really impressive. So he got his. He helped others. So what I saw is I saw leadership. I saw a jump shot. I saw quickness. I saw strength. I saw the passing ability. He gave you the full Monty today, didn't he?
Unless your name was Marquette and the Golden Warriors. Because you got the full Morant, and it was not good for your team. It got so bad that midway through the second half, or beyond midway through the second half, even their cheerleaders were giving up. They started chanting, "Thank you, seniors. Thank you, seniors." That's how bad it got when Ja Morant and Murray State got through with them. And afterwards, the quiet man let it be known. It was about getting that W, but he needed some help. It was so funny seeing all of a sudden he's the number two pick now behind Zion Williamson. Everybody's forgotten about what European play they won't know about until May. Or Barrett on the Duke basketball team. R.J. Barrett, excuse me, on the Duke basketball team, or anybody else out there. So many people were riding Ja Morant hard to the point saying, man, if Zion's gone and you got the second pick in the draft, even if you got a point guard, how can you pass on this guy if you're your NBA team? It was so much fun seeing that overreaction from so many other people, because for a lot of people, this was the first time they had a chance to see him play on a stage like this, or any stage, that they hadn't had a chance to see him play like that all year long.
It's a shame, because it's not like you have to pull out the rabbit ears to try to find Murray State basketball. If you want to find it, it's there for you if you want to see it. You and I have been watching Murray State and looking at box scores and seeing how this young man's progressing, because you and I both know that Ja Morant was going to be a top three, top five pick in the NBA draft. So you got to find out what he does. It is amazing. Just one game. It shows you how regional college basketball can be, where you're not watching this kid on a weekend. Yes, he is correct that others were able to make shots, but he was the guy that was so dynamic and the difference maker for Murray State and for a good Marquette team, by the way. And here's the narrative. The narrative is coming into this game, well, Morant is good for the level that he plays at. So what can he do against a quality Marquette team? What can he do in this NCAA tournament? What we can do is that he can lift the spirits of a team. Murray State was a 3-point underdog coming into this game. They didn't look like underdogs today.
No doubt about that. Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up in 10 minutes when it comes to the NCAA tournament, these guys have to be stars with Zion and Ja Morant, too. That comes your way in about 10 minutes. You can join the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I will say this about Ja Morant. And normally I'm not the guy that's going to be that guy that's going to be in the press box or be on the radio show saying, we got to have this, we got to have this. I'm not normally a prisoner of the moment. But let's be honest. We need this guy to be Florida State on Saturday. We need Ja Morant to get to the Sweet 16, not just so his star can rise. This is completely, completely selfish here. I love seeing dudes like this, a young man out of South Carolina. And the reason that people don't know about him, a lot of people don't know about him, Jonathan, is because he plays for a small school in Murray State. With enough college basketball on, you're going to want to go to what you know. You'll go to Duke. You'll go to Kentucky. You'll go to North Carolina. Even when UCLA stinks, people are going to pay attention to them. No one has time to worry about Ja Morant at Murray State or North Carolina Greensboro or Buffalo or Wofford. People aren't just going to do that. That's why, selfishly and also because I want to be big in the community, at the expense of Ja Morant, but not at the expense of him, we need him to beat Florida State to get to the Sweet 16 because his storyline is going to have a lot of people gravitating towards that when they see exactly where he's come from, how he's made it work, and a man's about to be a top two, top three pick in the NBA draft later on this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't get 25 points a game and average 10 assists a game and pretty much a double-double just by osmosis. He's been putting work in. And yes, it is the Murray State Racers, but the point is that when I start seeing him go up the ladder on some of these NBA mock drafts, I know that we are, my God, I think we're over 100 days away from, yeah, almost 100 days from the NBA draft. But the point is that I want to see how this young man was able to progress. A sophomore getting the job done for Murray State. And the thing is, you are 100% correct. What we are looking for as fans and broadcasters are storylines. We know Zion Williamson being in this big spotlight that he really is kind of the face of college basketball based on how he's been able to capture the imagination of the nation so quickly. But Ja Morant, if he's out there doing some stuff, mm-hmm. and we need a couple of quality teams that we can follow, now we got an NCAA tournament that everybody can be involved in. This is more than just us diehard college basketball fans right. watching game after game, tournament after tournament. Storylines do matter, and Morant became a big storyline here today.
I had a chance to hear my boys Corvino and Rich because right now they're still doing on Twitter a broadcast of 13 hours of a basketball bonanza.
Wow,
they may be looking through their eyelids by the time this is all said and done, being on all that time and having knuckleheads like me stop by and also Michael Lee from SportsCenter, Rachel Lindsay from The Bachelorette. When the discussion came up about Ja Morant talking with those guys, and Covino asked, who does he remind you of? I said, I never want to be that guy that says he's the second blank or he's the second this. I just never do that. I just want to be the first Ja Morant. But let's say if he gets past this weekend against Florida State and gets to a Sweet 16, this could have all the makings of a Steph Curry kind of thing. Because Steph Curry played at Davidson, didn't go to a bigger school. When they had that run, that year he got them to the Elite Eight, his star, he became the biggest star in college basketball when that happened until they finally lost in the Elite Eight. If they get a chance to get to a Sweet 16, Zion is still going to be the biggest star in college basketball. But this could have all the makings of a Steph Curry kind of feeling and also an upward when it comes to Ja Morant playing for Murray State if they beat Florida State on Saturday.
Because Steph comes out of Davidson and comes out of nowhere, right?
Exactly. People barely knew him, not even knowing him as Del Curry's son. who's the cute light-skinned kid shooting baskets? That's all they knew Steph Curry. Ja Morant's like, hey, who's the dude that looks a lot like Russell Westbrook dunking on cats?
Yeah.
If he gets to the second weekend, that could have that kind of feeling. People start to know more about Steph Curry. That could be the same thing with Ja Morant if Murray State wins on Saturday.
Well, that's the hope, and because we're always looking at blue bloods when it comes to the NBA draft, and this is not necessarily a blue blood program. Absolutely not. It's the Murray State Racers.
It's a no-blood program.
Yeah, no blood. It's a bloodless program.
Yes.
Murray State Racers. Put that on the bottom line. Put it out there. It's a bloodless program. Put that out there. I think that with this particular program here, I love that it's going to be a kind of a diamond in the rough,
yes.
because we it's something that you don't expect. I'm looking at my brackets now. I had Murray State winning the game. I just didn't know that they would dominate the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of Morant. He did everything out there today.
You know you're good when the opposing team's cheerleaders tell thank you seniors and the game still had about 7 minutes to play. That's what the Marquette Golden Warriors cheerleading squad had to say, with their team being the victim of Ja Morant and Murray State. Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by mycomputercareer.edu, training for a better life. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, update you on the games that are going on right now, and then we'll hear about Michigan State's Tom Izzo giving us another reason why coaches have to be who they are in college basketball. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
You can always join the conversation. Can't wait to hear what you have to say about Ja Morant, what we saw from him today as Murray State destroyed Marquette. We'll get to your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Real quick, games going on right now. Gonzaga, no surprise, they're leading Fairleigh Dickinson. They won versus a 16, not named Virginia, leading 83-43 with 3:48 to play in the second half. Villanova, the 6th seed, taking on number 11 St. Mary's, the 11th seed. Villanova, a 47-42 lead, 8:13 to play in the second quarter. Second half of that game. It has gone final. Kentucky, number 2 in their region. They beat Abilene Christian, 79-44. And also taking care of business was Florida, much to the chagrin of one Jonathan Hood, who had Nevada going a little bit further than they did. Florida wins that ball game by a count of 72-61. A couple of seconds. We'll also get to Tom Izzo giving us another reason why coaches have to be who they are when it comes to the NCAA tournament. But real quick, Billy in Pennsylvania at 888-729-3776 has something to say about Ja Morant and his performance today. Billy, what you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
And I heard a lot of talk today, man, about this Morant kid, and I never really seen him play till today. And boy's got skills. I'll give it to him. But I heard Timmy Legger this morning saying on Golic and Wingo that he could possibly go number one over Zion. You guys see that happening?
No, he's not going number one over Zion because Zion is going to be the number one pick in the draft. But it comes to what I said not too long ago, Jonathan. When you see something that you have not seen or have not heard before, and it hits you like he was able to hit people like...
Backdoor cut, Morant! Oh, shoot this to jam! He was kissing the rim as he bangs it home! A gorgeous cut and a thunderous two. It's 51-38.
Westwood One NCAA Radio Network with the call. You heard Billy in Pennsylvania what he had to say. Like, man, that kid's got some skills, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. There's no way this guy's going number one over Zion Williamson, but enough of that chatter was out there that even had Billy in Pennsylvania thinking, wait a minute, I need advice from Freddie and Jonathan. I haven't lost my mind about Zion Williamson of Duke being number one, have I? And no, you have not.
No, you have called the right show, the show that does not give you that prisoner of the moment feel and take, because that's not what we do. What we do here is we will tell you that from a perspective standpoint that Ja Morant is a terrific college basketball player. And the reason why that he's captured the imagination of so many is because people have not seen Murray State, but we've been watching him and reading about him and seeing that he is without question, a terrific player. When it comes to the draft, whatever he did today, whatever he's going to do in this NBA draft, he's going to be a top five pick, top three pick. Zion Williamson, I think, is head and shoulders above everybody else. Then we can make the argument about Reddish and Barrett and where the other one's going to fall. But point is that Morant should be getting top five money.
Well, he's going to get top five money. He's not getting top five money now because that would be against the NCAA rules.
You but know what I mean.
Yeah, but he'll be getting top five money at a certain point. You can always hit us on Twitter at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. My handle, Coleman ESPN. Jonathan's handle at TweetJHood here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. So Michigan State did struggle versus Bradley. They were finally able to win that ball game 76-65. It was not easy. Even when they took the lead in the second half, they went on a 10-0 run after being down by five. Tom Izzo lost his mind in the under-TV timeout. He and Aaron Henry, a freshman, had a back and forth. It was more of Tom Izzo yelling, but Aaron Henry did not back down. Even when they sat down in the timeout, Tom Izzo had to be restrained from going at the freshman player who apparently had a difference of opinion when it came to what he was not doing. This is what Tom Izzo, the head coach of Michigan State, had to say about that whole back and forth between him and Aaron Henry.
I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one-and-done time, you know? The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it.
Plenty of people saw the reaction and saw the continued reaction and the action of Tom Izzo. Number one, you shouldn't be surprised. If you've seen Tom Izzo before, this is what he does. And that's what his players know. They know they've gotten themselves into when it comes to that. But number two, another major reason why the coaches will continue to be the stars in college basketball. Because when players get at each other, it's teenagers losing their mind. They need to be more mature. When grown men do it, man, he's not a teenager. He needs to be more mature. Even though this is what Tom Izzo and coaches like him, we've seen it on the sidelines before. not everybody is going to be Mike Krzyzewski of Duke, and he gets on his players. Not to the level of Tom Izzo, but at the same time, this is who they are. This is why he has been successful. And for anybody to have an overreaction to that, apparently you have not been paying attention, especially when it comes to the big-time stars and big-time coaching stars in college basketball.
From Izzo's standpoint, Freddie, he's apparently on the other side of that conversation. He got a lot of my bads. And so when it, instead of, if it's on, if I'm doing it, I'm just nodding, okay, I got it, or yes, I understand. If he's saying my bad and it seems indifferent, that won't be good enough for Tom Izzo. And maybe that's the reason why the Izzo was so charged up, because it is important, for this basketball team to not be eliminated. This is, they don't want to get Mississippi, they don't want to get, eliminated like they were before. You know, this is the Middle Tennessee State loss from store. I'm sure it still sticks into the mind of Tom Izzo. He doesn't want to get eliminated so early. So I can understand why there's a sense of urgency. If he feels his player doesn't have that same sense of urgency, then I get it. You want to make sure that you are lighting a fire to make sure that that kid understands, like, my bad's not good enough. We've got to be able to get some momentum here. And so I totally get it from Izzo's standpoint.
Now, by the way, he didn't sit down Aaron Henry for the rest of the game. He put him right back out there. Mm-hmm. So whatever he didn't like that he heard, he was not going to let it affect the player and putting him back out there. And Aaron Henry still played well. But here's something else to that. Tom Izzo was loud about he did not like where his team was seeded in the region of the NCAA tournament. They're the second seed in the East region, and Duke is the number one seed. And he was loud and proud about saying the Big Ten playing a 20-game schedule, we should get more love than we got being the second seed. I wonder how much of that was able to manifest itself today, thinking, man, if I lose this first round game to Bradley, after all the groaning and moaning I did about 4 days ago, I'm going to get my comeuppance, and my bad is not going to make it any better for me if we don't find a way to win this ball game.
Yeah, I mean, remember, they've been in this situation before where you thought that they would be able to skate past Middle Tennessee State, and it didn't work out for them very well. So I can understand where Izzo is just like, okay, no matter the seeding, whatever's going on with our ball club, we've got to be able to play better. You see those numbers, 5 for 19 from 3? Yeah, no wonder he was upset.
Yeah, by the way, they did win that game, but a little bit too close for comfort, and Tom Izzo let his blood boil when it came to dealing with a player who was not doing things the way he should have done them. Right now, Villanova leading St. Mary's 53-49, 3:45 to play in that matchup in the South region. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons, joining me Freddie Coleman. And who called Ja Morant the second best player in college basketball? And why? That's next on ESPN Radio. I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Freddie and Fitzsimmons coming at you, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So a lot of people are talking about Ja Morant that may not have known about him before. Well, our man Myron Metcalf, ESPN College Basketball Report, had a chance to see him up close and personal when he played part of the sub-regional in Hartford, Connecticut. He joins us here thanks to Shell Pinto Performance Line. Myron, you've seen him, but you heard Tim Legler had to say. You saw him up close and personal today, how he dismantled Marquette. What did you see when you saw Ja Morant do his thing?
I saw a blur. You couldn't really see him. He was so fast. And I saw a guy who just, you know, was a next-level playmaker. I mean, they really had nothing for him. And Marquette was a really good defensive team in the Big East, and they just couldn't hang with him. He's too quick. His passes were too good. And I love that, like, he didn't start out being this aggressive guy who was trying to take 20 shots. He was just looking for the best play. And by the end of the game, you could just see that he was by far one of the most dominant players that we've seen in college basketball. I mean, I've seen a lot of Zion. This is my first time watching Ja Morant in person. I've seen him, obviously, on film. But for me, I mean, you're talking about the two most dominant players in college basketball. He's going to be a handful for anybody, and he's going to be fun to watch at the next level, too.
Myron, when you take a look at Morant's overall game and the way the draft is might lay out, you see him as a top five, but is he top two in the NBA draft if he was able to jump?
I just talked to an NBA executive tonight, you know, who was watching his game, and he said he's number two on his board. You know, I mean, he's not a great shooter, not a great three-point shooter. That's obviously something that you hope he can develop going forward. But everything else, I mean, what you notice when you stand next to him is how long he is. I mean, you see it on film, but this is a really long, kind of unique athlete. And that dunk he had, I mean, that was just like one dribble. He explodes over Joey Hauser. He's this rare combination of size and athleticism. And he's also got that you know, that swagger to him as well. You know, like he was looking at Marquette and Marcus Howard and, you know, like, bring it on, you know, and he accepted the challenge, and he's got a little arrogance to him, and I think that's good. But he also is patient enough to make the right plays. He's going to be special, man. I don't know exactly what happens at the next level, but in terms of the NBA-ready guys I've seen, it's him and Zion.
Mike Metcalf, ESPN College Basketball Reporter, talking about the first day so far of the NCAA tournament, including John Morant, his coming out party for Murray State with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood on ESPN Radio's Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Myron, you mentioned about the length of John Morant because his arms are so long, he can touch the ground without bending over. That's the kind of length he has when it comes to his arms. But when you see a guy like that, for a lot of people that had a chance to see him for the first time like you, how surprised were you that he did something that no one saw coming, having a triple-double like that against the Big East team?
Well, it just happened so fast. He had 5 assists by the first TV timeout. I mean, you think about that. I've watched a lot of basketball games in the years I've been covering this sport. I'm not sure I remember someone having 5 assists in the first TV timeout. I mean, it was just they did everything to stop him, and yet he was still making plays. It just frustrating him. And his speed up close, seeing that in person is unique because he just got around everybody. They really couldn't stay in front of him, and they really tried everything. They doubled him. They pressed for a little bit. They zoned for a possession. Nothing worked. Because he was just so dangerous as a playmaker. And then when he's in traffic, he is thin. Like, I had an executive tell me tonight, you know, he doesn't have that body yet, but wait until he gets it. Because if he can finish in traffic at the next level, he's going to be hard to stop. And if he develops a 3-point shot, he might be a superstar.
Myron, is there anything that stood out to you in the day portion of day one that kind of stood out to you as far as the NCAA tournament?
I thought Minnesota would compete with Louisville. I didn't think they'd win. I certainly didn't think, you know, they'd win by 10. So I think that was surprising. Watching Auburn try to give up that game against New Mexico State.
That was fun and strange at the same time, by the way, the ending of that ball game.
Yeah, that was very Bruce Pearl, I think.
nice.
But that was interesting. And then, you know, but it's just been a good day so far. I mean, I hope tomorrow has some more thrills. But we watched Job today, and I want to see what Zion does tomorrow. But I think you've got the two headliners with John Morant tonight and Zion playing tomorrow.
Myron Metcalf, ESPN College Basketball Reporter on ESPN Radio with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. On Freddie and Fitzsimmons, a lot of people are overreacting or reacting accordingly, depending on who you talk to, about Tom Izzo and Aaron Henry having that tete-a-tete with the first TV timeout in the second half after Michigan State went on a 10-0 run to erase a 5-point deficit to take a 5-point lead versus Bradley. I told everybody out there, this is who he is. You should not be surprised. And overreaction, to me, is not the best reaction. Where do you stand?
I mean, they weren't there in East Lansing with those Kalen Lucas, Draymond Green teams like I was. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's bad. If people consider that to be bad, I don't know what they would have thought about, you know, how Izzo was back then. I actually think he's calmed down somewhat. So, to me, here's where I stand on yelling at athletes and players. It's one thing to yell because you're frustrated and upset, and you feel like an athlete can do more than what they're doing. It's another thing to demean, that particular athlete. That's not what Izzo's doing, you know. Izzo, you ask anybody. I've been to a lot of games, and that is one of the few places where when you go to a game, all of the family members are hanging around the locker room. Like, it's like a party.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing what people think about Izzo in that program. And I feel like we're gravitating toward this idea of you got to talk to every kid in a certain tone. Well, then what's coaching? I don't know what it is. So I don't know. I think there's an overreaction, but I guess that's to be expected when things happen on the big stage like this.
Yeah, especially when social media gets a hold of that. Myron, always a blessed chance to talk with you, my friend. You take care and you be well. Myron Metcalf, ESPN College Basketball Reporter, joining me and Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Well, Jalen Hutchinson in Florida, they had a tough time with Nevada. They would not go away, but Florida said, hey, Don't look at us anybody. We don't belong here. We showed we belong. They won their first round matchup in the West region, beating the Wolfpack by a count of 70-61. Jalen Hudson having a terrific performance with his basketball team of 15 points, and he is here on ESPN Radio. Jalen, it could have been very easy for this team when Nevada made that run to fold down the stretch. What was said in the huddles or on the court to make sure that that was not going to happen?
I was just trying to tell my guys that we have to keep our composure. That's a really good basketball team that we just beat. Obviously, they won a lot of games over their 2 years. I know the Barton twins very well, and I knew that they're very competitive and they hate to lose. So it was very important for us to kind of keep our composure. They were trying to speed us up and try to turn us over to trying to get back in the game, and it was successful for a while. But around the 3 or 4 minute mark, after we came out of the last TV timeout, we kind of banded together. We figured out that we're not going to turn it over, and if we do turn it over, it's going to be a dead ball turnover, so we can kind of set our defense. So that was kind of our mindset throughout the rest of the game with 4 minutes left.
Jalen, it's a team that you're not familiar with. It's Nevada Wolfpack. What was the game plan coming in? What was the coaching staff talking to the team about to try to get you guys ready for this one?
Just trying to slow them down in transition. Obviously, their tempo is so much faster than ours. So it was really important for us to slow them down in transition. Even when we were on offense, it was important for us to take good shots. And if we feel like we couldn't get the offensive rebound, it was imperative for us to get back and just to kind of stop the ball, because they wanted to play so fast and they wanted to speed us up. And if we got them some easy points, we got some of their guys going early, it had been tough for us all night. But the first half, we were kind of able to slow it down. And then the second half, they were able to speed us up and start trapping. But we did just enough to kind of pull it out. And that's a very good Nevada team that we just beat.
Jalen Hudson of Florida after beating Nevada, joining Freddie Coleman and also Jonathan Hood on ESPN Radio. Jalen, you threw some shade at them earlier this week. You said the Wolfpack had not seen a team like Florida in a long time. You said, yeah, they have experience, but they're a mid-major team. They have not seen a team like us in a long time. I'm excited to bring out SEC vibe to the game and see how they can kind of match it with that. Did anybody on the other side playing for Nevada let you know what you said about them?
Can you say that question one more time? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm in the hallway here.
No problem. You said that Nevada has not seen a team like you in a long time. You let it be known that, hey, we're right. An SEC team. They're a Mountain West team. We'll find out what that's all about. Did anybody on the other side let you know that they heard what you said about them?
Oh yeah, they were yelling that from the bench as I was running by every time I was by their bench. They were like, "SC vibe, huh? SC vibe, huh?" But we kind of showed them. We kind of showed them. At one point, we had them down 18. They made that run. Obviously, they're a really good team, but I feel like we brought some grit. I feel like we brought some toughness from the SEC that maybe they hadn't seen before. And credit to them, though.
Yeah, he said he was in the hallway, so his phone probably dropped. But either way, that was a pretty good answer. Saying, "Oh yeah. Oh, I heard it from the bench." They kept letting me know. SEC vibe, huh? SEC vibe, huh? Really, Jalen Hudson, Florida guard. They win their first round match against Nevada. They win it by a count of 70-61, despite the fact that Jonathan Hood thought Nevada was going to win this game and maybe win a couple of games in the tournament. You going to be okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to make sure you're going to be fine.
There's my analysis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There it is.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That's network quality, isn't it?
You're lying, but okay, we'll just go with that from that standpoint. Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons with me, Freddie Coleman of Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668. Ja Morant will have something in common with Zion Williamson, other than being from the same state. That comes your way in about 10 minutes. But how should we look at Ichiro Suzuki now? That's next on ESPN Radio.
This bracket.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. You can always join the conversation anytime you want at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. He finally called it a career. It seemed like a guy like Ichiro Suzuki, you would never think that he would retire. But today, after opening up the first two games of Major League Baseball season in his home of Japan, playing with the Seattle Mariners, the team that brought him to Major League Baseball in the United States, he decided to call it a career. Jonathan Hood, when I say Ichiro Suzuki, what say you?
I say that I may or may not be a little weepy when I saw the highlight, quite frankly, because I just think it just hit me today that I saw one of the top 10 players ever played the game in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I did. You know, for some, this is their Pete Rose in that how many hits that he had because of how consistent that he was, how many all-star appearances that he had. It wasn't about power. We've seen a lot of guys with power and home run power, mm-hmm. whether they needed something to get that power or not. But are you talking about clutch and just keeping the line moving? That was Ichiro Suzuki. I saw a top 10 player and just hit me. We always assume, right? Oh, he'll be back next year. He'll be back next year.
Right.
He came to America in 2001 with Seattle.
2001, and, yeah, exactly.
It was terrific, Freddie. We saw an all-time great leave the game today. It hit me today. I'm like, wow, that guy was great.
It's amazing how a guy like that can be underappreciated, the kind of career that he had, mainly because the teams weren't consistent winners, even though he did everything he could in Seattle. It took him going somewhere else for people to realize what kind of great player he was all those years with the Seattle Mariners when he was the only thing they had after Ken Griffey Jr. left to go to the Cincinnati Reds. And one of the best stories I ever heard about him was from Bobby Valentine. When Bobby Valentine worked here as a Major League Baseball analyst, and now he's the athletic director at Sacred Heart. And he told me this story last year. We were talking about baseball because anytime I talk about baseball with him, I always learn something different. And I said, who's the one guy that people don't give enough credit to? Without blinking an eye, Jonathan. He said, Ichiro Suzuki. He said, I walked up to him one time when I was managing, and I said, boy, I mean, you never throw your bats. I never see you get frustrated. You know, why don't you? Because Bobby can speak fluent Asian, fluent Japanese, because you're the manager over there and play over there. And Ichiro told him, he said, this is my tool. You never see a great carpenter throw his best hammer. I care for my bats. End quote. And Bobby Valentine said, man, oh, man, because there are plenty of guys that were nowhere near the pedigree of Ichiro Suzuki, and they're just flinging bats all over the place. He's like, well, that's their problem, but I need these things to work. I need these things to work for me. Why would I do that to the tools of my trade and then put myself in a bad spot or put myself behind the eight ball? It was a tremendous story that he talked about a guy that always had pressure around him, no matter where he went, Jonathan, when he got to the United States. Cameras, microphones from the Far East were going to be there because of what he did there and what he was trying to do here. But he never allowed that to frustrate him or to have his nerves being frayed. And that's why Bobby Valentine said he'll never get enough credit for what kind of player, how great he was, mainly because nobody thought he was going to do this. And when he did it, nobody thought Ichiro Suzuki would do that to this level.
He's always had that patience at the plate too, right? Had a nice, sweet swing when he was up at the plate. And you would think that, you know, there would be some major leaguers that would love to be able to mock and be able to do what Ichiro did as a baseball player, because when you look at his numbers, he never struck out more than 100 times. He was always somewhere in the 80s with his strikeouts. As a matter of fact, he was in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. He never struck out over 100 times. He never had over 20 home runs during his time with Seattle all throughout the big leagues. But you know what you could always depend on? Over 200 hits for a 9-year stretch in a row. That guy was as clutch as it comes. And again, it wasn't about the home run power. It was about him just getting on base. He was able to have that kind of plate discipline to be able to look for his pitch and be able to drive it. I'll always appreciate that.
Right.
Because it's kind of like how we looked at Tony Gwynn's career, right?
Mm-hmm.
What DiMaggio said, somebody said, so like, if I had walked that many times, I'd kill myself. Like, he was consistent, just like Gwynn was consistent, always getting on base. And I love Ichiro for that.
Yeah, a lot of people love him for that as well, especially in the city of Seattle. Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Tim Kirchner told a great story early on Baseball Tonight about Bobby Valentine. Again, he managed for years in Japan and knew Ichiro very well. And Bobby Valentine told Tim Kirchner that Ichiro was a mathematical genius. And Tim Kirchner said, what do you mean? Well, Bobby, what do you mean by that? And Bobby responded saying that he met him in an elevator once. It was a high-rise elevator, maybe 35 floors. He said Ichiro looked at the room numbers on the right side of the elevator and added them up in his head in like 3 seconds. And Bobby Valentine said he had never seen anything like that. He said that analytical mathematical mind helped him to see angles at the plate and in the outfield. Valentine said, when you see him put his head down and run to a spot in the outfield, right where the ball ends up, it's because he can see the field in his head. Tim Kirchner asked Ichiro about that. He never wanted to talk about it. He said Ichiro was a baseball player. He said he felt it would be insulting to the real mathematicians in the world if he boasted about his skills in math, trying to make him a better baseball player. That's why he's always going to be underappreciated, unassuming, because he never thought he was a big deal. He was playing a sport that he loved.
When you look at Baseball Reference and the numbers from Ichiro, the two names that come up, Freddie, Rod Carew and Lou Brock, the defense rests.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Pat the Designer on Twitter says, Ichiro is one of the baseball's greatest hitters whose career was wasted in Seattle. I wouldn't use the term wasted, more underappreciated, not wasted, because he put up some serious numbers on his way to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ja Morant and Zion Williamson will share this and share it good, and it's not because they're from the same state. That's next on ESPN Radio.